Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Cavs are continuing in wait mode. The Guardians are going to be in action here coming up in just a couple of minutes, taking on the Orioles tonight. We'll react to that, obviously, when it wraps up. But it's Jake Falnick with the guys here on overtime from 7 to 11. Michael Bohm running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s and do work behind the glass, Michael Markoch. Today, it's another day where we're sitting here, and with 9 days leading up to the draft, I feel like for a lot of people, this is sort of where the anticipation really starts to set in, right? You start to get within that sort of 2-week mark, and you're like, okay, it's finally starting. Here we are. We're getting amped up. We're getting ready to go. Who are the Browns going to take? But for us, it's like, okay, we've been doing 2 to 3 months of draft content. Let's talk a little bit more draft. Can we get to the actual pick? Which I'm sure some people are also feeling right now. But on a day like today, where you actually get something out of Travis Hunter, it at least spices things up a little bit. I mean, very well could obviously be the Browns pick at number 2, currently the odds-on favorite. And today, basically rolling through and telling you that if it's not his way, it's sort of the highway, right? You either go the way that he wants to go, or you don't go at all. And it's an odd scenario to be into, because I think there's a lot of things to weigh with just that comment that may or may not concern you. And it's just, you sit here with Travis Hunter, and obviously, from a very standard point, I think you look at it, and he's probably at the top, if not just behind, one of the most talented players in the entire draft, from top to bottom, being a corner, being a wide receiver, two-way player, everything that's there. But the two-way player aspect added an interesting wrinkle even today, because some people look at him and say, well, I'd probably play Travis at corner. I'd play Travis at wide receiver. And maybe, if nothing else, he could at least play one of those positions, not the other one. Travis Hunter today, in a sit-down with CBS Sports, going pretty much completely the opposite.
If you had to choose between playing only one position in the NFL or never playing football again, what would you choose?
Just never playing football again. This I've been doing it my whole life. I love being on the football field, and I feel like I can dominate on each side of the ball, so I really enjoy doing it.
So this just makes a bit of an interesting sort of, like, you would think, oh, hey, you can't play defense for the rest of your career, okay? If it comes down to, I'm not allowed to play defense anymore, would you rather still play? I think you would look at it, and most guys would clearly be like, yeah, of course, I'd rather still play football. But he throws it sort of the wrench here. Yeah, no, I'd rather just not play than not be able to play two sides. Now, do we think this is probably slight hyperbole? Yeah, I would probably categorize it to that. If somebody actually walked in and went, Travis, we're just going to have you play wide receiver this year. We're going to take a break on the corner spot or vice versa. And we're just going to have you really focus in on one for year one. I don't think Travis Hunter is going, you know what? Then I'm not playing football. It's just not the way that it's going to happen. But I do think the comments sort of open up an avenue as to whether or not it's almost just a bad approach heading it 9 days away from the draft to sort of put yourself in those shoes of, well, if you're thinking about putting me in one spot, don't take me at all. And it's a confidence play coming out from Travis Hunter, really from top to bottom. And I don't think that it's going to cause any rumbles necessarily in his draft stock. because I do truthfully think that most of these teams at the top of the draft that are looking at him, either potentially looking to trade up, potentially just looking to draft Travis Hunter straight out of the gate, or hoping that he falls, I would imagine that all of them are looking at him sort of as this unicorn guy. Okay, well, you can play two positions in whatever capacity that happens. If it's, you know, 20 snaps on offense, 10 snaps on offense, and you're playing the entire game on defense, I still want you there because that's something that you can add to the team, and he's giving you sort of a bonus slot there. But it also sort of puts you into this mindset of, well, I don't know that I just love a guy essentially telling you that I got to play two ways, because he wants to go out and tell you, well, I want to play two ways and I want to play them full time. That's great. Like, I'm sure you would love to go out and play them full time, but unfortunately, going from playing Big 12 competition to going to playing NFL competition, slight gap there. Slight gap. You're obviously not playing both ends of the ball in the NFL at full time. Just not something that's really that feasible. Right? You can't split your time to be a full-time corner and a full-time wide receiver. But I think if I look at it from the lens of Travis Hunter and really what he's trying to explain, yeah, I think a team would be wild their first year to throw out the idea that he could play the other position. And I don't think that's going to be something that the Browns or any other team looking to draft him are going to seriously consider. But I do think that as he enters into the NFL, sure, I love a guy with confidence, and he's playing two of the most sort of diva-filled positions within the NFL between wide receiver and corner. But there is going to be probably a slight wake-up call for Travis Hunter at some point. And that's not to say he's not going to pan out his first year or he's not going to pan out, period. Absolutely not. I think he's uber-talented, and I think he can live up to being one of the best players in the NFL. Like, he's completely capable of that. But I do think that, again, there is a wake-up call to say, hey, going from playing a lot of the teams that we faced off against when I was at Jackson State, or more so, much more so, playing at Colorado, there's going to be a gap. And there's going to be a learning curve where playing both ways in college, you probably got away living off your athleticism a little bit. And when you head to the NFL, you're still going to be athletic, but so are a lot of other people. And if you wanted to play full-time, it's just not going to work. So not even a wake-up call of on the field, but I think there's almost going to be an off-the-field wake-up call for Travis Hunter telling you, yeah, we're going to try to play at both spots, but you're basically going to be a gadget guy on offense and then a full-time corner or something of that effect on the other side of the ball. So if I ask the question sort of whether or not this is a bad approach for the potential number two pick, no. I don't think that it's really a negative to go through and look at. I just think that if you're looking to take Travis Hunter, where he currently sits is the guys that I could take at number two as my third favorite. But I said and I continue to say you can't make a wrong move at number two with any of the top three guys that you consider between Shador, Abdul Carter, and Travis Hunter in my eyes. Any one of those three guys are a hit. I would be happy coming out of Thursday being with a smile on my face if you draft any of them. And I imagine you will, and I'll be happy with Thursday's draft. But there is definitely, I think, a wake-up call coming to Travis Hunter and him looking at things and having to take a new approach to the way that he's going to be able to play football. It's not going to be able to be full-time on both sides of the ball, and there's probably going to be an adjustment period of finding a way where you're not taking plays off on either side of the ball, and you're playing a majority of the snaps on one side and still having to put an effort on the other side while you're watching your teammates get a good rest on the bench. Yeah, it's, again, it's something that's going to happen, but it's not even something that I look at and I say, if I go up and down in the draft and look at Travis Hunter, that's going to hurt his stock. I don't think it hurts his value as a player to want to play two ways. Or if he even said, yeah, I'd consider switching to one. It's not something that I take a huge hit for Travis Hunter in. definitely more so, though, if he were to try to commit to one spot. I think that's really what you look at. Because for me, a lot of the value within Hunter is that, yes, could he be the best corner in the draft? Very possibly. I don't think he's the best wide receiver in the class, but there's a lot of people out there that do, and he very could well be. So as I go here and I look at it, and really a lot of the value for me is I look at a guy that's playing two ways is the simplicity and the things that I can attach one word to, and that's versatility. Right? I'm getting not only two shots at a player to pan out between are you going to pan out as a wide receiver and are you going to pan out as a corner, and if one doesn't work, well, that's all right. But on top of it, I have an opportunity to have a guy covering two spots on my roster, open up roster flexibility, open up another spot to sign somebody else who can help the team in a different way, have the opportunity to just have a guy making impacts. And if he's that good of an athlete, if he's that great of a player when he steps onto the field, having him on both sides of the ball is really where a ton of the value for him is attached in my eyes. If Travis Hunter is going to come out and be an elite NFL player in his first season, a lot of that's going to be, hey, he was really good on one side of the ball and still contributing on the other. I think that if you're looking at the individual player, am I drafting him at two? Again, personally, probably not if it's one spot that he's playing. But all of the value for me sort of funnels into that's a guy that you can play on both sides of the ball. That's a guy that could be, if he lives up to and he hits his ceiling, the most versatile player in the NFL. A true unicorn, something that's not seen across the league. You have a weapon that nobody else has. That's where a lot of the value for me lies in Travis Hunter, is the fact that you can do it all. 216-474-0092. Does Travis Hunter's value for you lie in versatility or the fact that he has elite ability at one of those spots? Is it the fact that he's a great corner and he gives you something extra as a wide receiver? Or do you like the fact he can play two positions? Which one of those is the true value of why you're looking at Travis Hunter at number two? You can also get to me on X at Vulnik Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we get to our social media reactions, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot to get to, including our very own Daryl Ryder, going to be joining us at 8 o'clock to talk Browns and the latest around the team. We'll also talk to him a little bit about Travis Hunter and his comments today. At 8:40, Draft Daily coming up. We'll talk to Dan Leberfeld of Jets Confidential, and we'll take a look at the New York Jets and what they could be doing at the number 7 pick. And as always, the Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. Get a Grip at 9. And at 10:20, we'll bring in Michael for another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Does your value for Travis Hunter lie in versatility or the fact that he's elite at one of those positions? We'll get to your calls and more coming up here in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Vulnik with you guys on Overtime on The Fan. Jake Vulnik with you guys on The Fan, asking you at 216-474-0092. Where does your value in Travis Hunter lie? Is it the fact that, hey, he's an elite corner, and everything that he gives me on the other side of the ball is basically additional work there, and I just can play it as a bonus? Or is it the fact that he's versatile? Because Travis Hunter himself will tell you, and he did, and he did CBS Sports, said, listen, it's basically my way or the highway. I'm playing both ways, or I'm not playing at all. And a hypothetical thrown out to him. I just, again, to me, I sit there and I look at it, and I'm like,
at Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Sure, is going both ways something that's pretty important in his draft stock? Yeah, it's a thing that I would label him, is why look at him, is a potential top prospect in the draft. Because he might be the best corner. He very well might be. He could be the top guy there, but I look at him and I'm like, okay, well, Will Johnson's probably fallen outside the top 10, down to the top 15. I don't view him as a top wide receiver, so I don't think that would be worthy of a number two pick. But guess what? If you're really good at corner, and you're one of the top in that, and you're really good at wide receiver, and you're going to be one of the top guys there, that for me is what boasts you up. So these are the type of comments that, sure, is Travis Hunter due for a little bit of a wake-up call? Maybe. Right? Is there something there that he has to probably figure out in the off-the-field purpose of, he might not be able to play two ways the way he did in college? Yeah. But those are the type of comments that, if I'm the Browns and I'm listening to Travis Hunter talk, if you're wondering whether or not it would scare the Browns away to know that he has to play two ways, for me, it's nothing. Right? I would prefer, if I'm the Browns, to hear Travis Hunter put these kind of things out into the ether. Right? I want to play two ways. Well, great, because that's a lot of the reason that I'm valuing you and considering you taking the number two pick in the draft. So I love that he wants to play two ways. And clearly, I think the only way that you're looking at Travis Hunter as the number two pick in this draft is if you're truly considering him a two-way player. Right? It's in some degree baffling to me that he's even getting away with being the number two player in this draft. Because you would think, if you're essentially the top guy in both spots, I don't know how you don't go number one. But sure, Titans want a quarterback. And the Browns have an opportunity, if they want, to draft a guy that could be very good at two positions. But yeah, tell me that, please. Tell me you want to play two ways. It really is what I want to hear. And again, 216-474-0092. Which is more important for you? Let's go out to Bob is in Westlake. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, how you doing, Jake?
I'm doing good, man. What do you got?
Hey, I like Hunter. He's a good player, a great player. But tell me, I'll ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you were to take Carter, or possibly, I know a lot of Cleveland fans don't like this because we always lose out on trading back, Mason Graham or Hunter, if all three of those guys hit, who would be better on our team? Personally, I think if you drafted Graham or Carter, I would like Graham a lot next to Miles. That would impact our team and our future a lot more than if Hunter hit. Hunter's a great player. I just don't see how a two-way player helps us right now. I know it's best player available, but it just doesn't – I don't think a two-way corner wide receiver really helps our team. I think putting a wrecker next to Miles, like Abdul, or especially Mason Graham right next to him, I watched the Ohio State game when he just single-handedly beat us. I think that would be the way to go. I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, and Bob, I appreciate the call. Truthfully, if I'm looking at it from if they hit, and I'm going to sort of interpret what Bob was meaning here, meaning that they hit somewhat where their projected value is, which these guys are top five players in the draft. I'm assuming they pan out to be an elite player in the NFL, right? Or at least a very good player in the NFL. Like, I think any three of those guys obviously help you, because you're not going to be mad getting either Graham or Carter on the defensive line. But if we're talking about a guy that hits, if Travis Hunter is what he lives up to be, there's going to be no question that I think that Travis Hunter is the best player in the draft. Again, a guy that can fill two spots. So even if I'm getting, in for this instance, I think Travis Hunter a better corner than he is a wide receiver. The Browns have said differently, but for this instance, I'll use off of what I feel like. So if I'm getting a full-time corner, a lockdown guy potentially beside Denzel Ward, beside MJ Emerson, And then also, what, 10 plays, 15 plays? I'm getting to throw him at wide receiver. And again, we're assuming he hits. He's also going to be a guy that's playmaking. You're probably feeding the ball, and he's not just running around. And it's, oh, well, he gets three targets. You're going to design plays specifically for Hunter to get the ball to show off his athleticism and show his ability after the catch. That, to me, is the number one guy. And I think any team would look at him, not just in the personal view, but any team could look at it and say that would be the most impactful player probably on our team outside of maybe the top quarterbacks in the NFL. And especially probably to some degree for a lot of teams if it was flip-flop. Now, I think it's a lot harder to do, but if you're an elite wide receiver and then also distributing plays as a corner, again, you could look at it and say, well, yeah, the Browns need another wide receiver, but is that a top need? I would say getting somebody to throw the ball to for whoever it's going to be back there this year, you're probably looking for a guy to be a playmaker there. Jerry Jeudy was good last year. You're banking on not just one good season from Jerry Jeudy, but him to continue that with potentially a different quarterback play. Right? A lot of what he did was with Jameis throwing the ball 45, 50 times. So I think Travis Hunter makes a huge impact there. It just, to me, and again, I told you, I have him third out of the three guys I could go. But it's because I think finding that balance and finding him to be very good and sort of be considered a hit in the draft at both positions is going to be something very difficult to handle. Not just for any team, but specifically the Browns, who feel like they need to be fast-tracked and don't have the luxury of, well, if we mess up a couple of games here and we're really trying to experiment with Hunter, if it costs us a couple of games, then so be it. The Browns might have that in 2025, certainly not in 2026, though. Let's go back out of the phones. Nato's in Cleveland Heights. Go on, Nato.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you got, man?
If I'm drafting Travis Hunter at number two, I'm having him play both ways. Not as like a gadget guy on offense or anything like that. You know, I want my best player on the field, both sides of the ball throughout the game, especially at the end when the game's on the line.
I mean, like, I would love if Travis Hunter could do it, but I do. I think there's a massive difference from playing at Colorado, going up against the Big 12, to then jumping directly to NFL competition and thinking that you're going to be able to dedicate the time to be very useful on both ends of the ball and be able to hold up with that physically.
Yeah, but he's top tier on both sides of the ball now, right?
So yeah, like, I mean, a lot of people consider him.
He's been doing it. Yeah. That's what I would do if I'm drafting him at two. I'm having him play both ways.
I know. I appreciate the call. Again, I just, like, I know that's what he wants to do, and he's telling you, listen, you can say that you can't do it. You can say that guys haven't done it before. I'm waiting to see what that looks like. That is a big jump for a guy to make. I mean, a Big 12, again, let's be realistic, guys. The Big 12 defenses are less than ideal, okay? I've looked at it against his competition. The top corner that he went up against was essentially a projected fourth-round pick out of Kansas State. That very well might be the best corner he played all year. That's not exactly high-tier NFL competition. Not to mention the pace of the game, the athleticism it takes to up against guys that are of similar skill sets to you. It just takes a lot more out of you. It's a lot more physically demanding than potentially playing in the Big 12. If you're a corner, and let's say you're Travis Hunter, you get burned on a deep route because you're a little bit tired playing the corner spot. You figured you could take a play off. A quarterback out of, what, Arizona or pick your school might not hit that throw. Right? Or maybe the guy you're going up against, and Arizona is a bad example for going up against because it would have been Tet at some point. But you pick a Big 12 school, you just might be more athletic. You might be just miles more athletically gifted than the guy you're going up against. You might have the ability to recover if you felt like you got burned and now it's, oh, all right, I got to kick it up a notch. That just doesn't happen in the NFL. You don't get the luxury. Not to mention playing the entire way both ways. The injury risk is astronomical. I struggle to find a scenario where Travis Hunter can play every single down or close to it on both sides of the ball. He's going to try to prove you wrong. He's going to say, I'm a different guy than anybody else that you've looked at before. I'll believe it when I see it, because if it was that easy, if it was that simple, there's a lot of players that throughout high school and even in their college days have played two ways and then just not made it work in the NFL. Eddie's in Westlake. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
I agree with you. You know, you could get away with that in college and, you know, playing all those snaps. And he didn't have that many. I mean, the guy was really phenomenal. I mean, the fact that he didn't get injured, I only really saw really one bad game where he was really getting, he was getting his lunch ticket. So he was really getting tore up against in that Stanford game. But that might have been an example of, you know, being tired. You know what I'm saying? Because right. Whatever, that number 13 or whatever, that guy was, you know, whoever was lined up on him, and Travis Hunter was lined up on him a lot, you know, was really, you know, getting it in. But I'm not really worried about him because he's not going to be playing all them plays. And listen, he the best player in this draft. I a long time ago, probably like 2 to 3 weeks ago, I broke this down to just, it's either Abdul Carter or it's Travis Hunter. I was going to be peaceful with either one. I wouldn't touch Shedeur Sanders at number two because there's too many. Anytime you got all these varying degrees and talking about, you know, you're going to make it out of the first round because you're being a set, that ain't somebody you're trying to run and get at number two. You can't have the conviction that you need to have to take him at two with all these varying degrees of where he's going to go. So you can't be the team to be like, oh, that's our guy. Oh, nah, it's too much going on. So you have to take these best player available regardless of position, and that's in my mind, it's Travis Hunter and it's Abdul Carter. It's just like, what, you know, if you want to look at it and you want to say what's Trump, it's Travis Hunter is all about ball and he got an injury free history, so maybe that's what the Trump is. I'm peaceful with either one, but hey, this kid is not going to be able to go, you know, and play both them positions. I envision him starting off at corner. And then they're going to get rid of the Greg Newsom because he made too much money and he'd be getting beat way too much for making $13, $14 million a year. And so I feel like he's going to get traded on draft day, even if it's another to replace the fifth-round pick we lost. And I think they're interchangeable parts with Emerson, Warden, and Hunter. Either one of them can play in the slot and the outside, and they can mix it up. So I think you're going to have three elite corners if that's the case. And then, like you said, mixing him in on offense, I think that's the move, you know, right there when I'm looking at it. But or if they want to put him at receiver, that's fine, but he's going to have to stay there. You know what I mean? Because he's not going to be able to go back and forth because, like you said, there's no – even like that number 13, it was giving him trouble. There's no number 13. It's a Justin Jefferson on that other side. It's a Jamar Chase. You know what I mean? It's somebody over there waiting for you. And if you're tired, it's going to be a problem.
So, Eddie, real quick. So you would just, even on one side of the ball, you consider him the number two player in the draft. So you would value his talent on one side of the ball higher than the fact that he's just versatile, period.
No, Travis Hunter is probably the best player in the draft because not only was he playing both them positions and he was playing them at All-American level on both sides of the ball. Nobody, that's never been done in the history of the NCAA. I mean, not that I know of. Nobody was doing that. Nobody was playing 115 snaps, 120 snaps, whatever he was playing, and doing that at an elite level. I mean, elite level, not just playing it, just to play, you know, because that's the other thing. I don't want him just to be playing these plays, talking about I'm going to play both sides. I need great plays.
Right.
You know what I mean? And in order for it to be great plays, you got to pick a side and then mix in, you know, he might be more than just a guy that's like doing – two or three plays in the game. Maybe he gets double digits. Maybe he gets 10 plays on the one side of the ball. But I'm thinking wherever you put him at, he might get 10 plays on that other side of the ball. But even from a scheme standpoint of like, you know, you can't even be in these rooms when you're preparing and you can't be in both offense and the defensive room. So that's a problem right there. So you got to be in one spot. I mean, you can't be like, okay, I'm gonna leave now and I'm gonna go to the offensive. It don't work like that.
Yeah, and Eddie, I appreciate the call. We're up against it, so I gotta let you go. But I look at it, and I do. I think it's very.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Interesting to go through and look at these guys and think, all right, Eddie thinks that he's talented on either side and he'd play him on either end and take him at two. For me, it's very much in the versatility of sort of where he lands, right? If you get there and you take him at two, I think that's a big part of it. But Travis Hunter, to me, feels like he wants to play both ways. He wants to play all the snaps. And that's going to cause a little bit of an issue in what he's actually able to accomplish at the NFL level. I just don't think you can do all of that, but I think there's a little bit of stubbornness in it. I think Eddie also hit on the point of, like, you can't just do it to do it. That's the big thing for me. Let's talk about that coming back here in about 5 minutes. In 216-474-0092, we'll get your calls as well. The station buzz coming up here at 7:40. It's Jake Volnick with the guys on Overtime right here on The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys on The Fan. Daryl Ryder coming up here in about 17 minutes. We'll talk to him. Everything happening around your Cleveland Browns. We'll get to talk to Daryl. Get his feelings a little bit on Joe Flacco, although we heard him a little bit on Afternoon Drive yesterday. We'll get a little bit extra. We'll get his feelings on Travis Hunter's comments today. And the station buzz coming up here in a couple of minutes. But I did want to get your calls at 216-474-0092. Whether or not your value for Travis Hunter is the fact that he's just really good at one side of the ball. He can be an elite corner. You'd be fine with him playing one position. Or if it truly does rely in versatility. Let's go to Mike is in Akron. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, absolutely, man. How's it going?
Good. I was just going to say, like, this is, like, really short and sweet. The man can play both ways. I believe that. But where I feel like he would earn his money and keep is if he's able to do it on both ends, like red zone. You know what I mean? Work him red zone at wide receiver because his ball skills are tremendous. So you can't deny that. And if he's that sticky, like, you know, man to man, then put them in on red zone during, you know, when they're down there in our territory. It's like kind of simple, but also I just kind of make him have to earn it. You know what I mean? You can't just go to the NFL and think that you're going to be able to do both ends when everybody out there is a Travis Hunter. You know, he's not the only one that's, you know, doing his thing out there. So I just believe he can do it, but also he's got to earn it. And we also got to keep in mind, too, that I feel like he also has been groomed by Deion Sanders, who we know that Deion could have played both ways. He just was never given the opportunity. So it's all a matter of how they deal with it. But I don't know if I trust Cleveland being able to deal with that type of responsibility. We can barely even figure out who we want to quarterback, so let alone try to groom a unicorn to be the best ever at both ends of the field.
Yeah, and that's kind of where, yeah, absolutely, Mike. That's kind of where a lot of it lies on me, too. Where I look at him and I'll tell you, I think that he could no doubt be the best player that you walk away from in this draft. And in 3 years, you're going, yeah, that should have been a no-brainer. It should have hands down been Travis Hunter. At the same time, I sit there and think to myself, are the Browns really the team to go through and sort of figure it out? Don't know that they are. Like, they feel like they have a lot on their plate for it. But if he can play both ways, I think you take the risk and you go and you just take him. Demetrius is in Bedford. What's going on, Demetrius?
How you doing? I was thinking about maybe not using Travis as a true wide receiver, but maybe like a third down scat back joker kind of weapon, like the way you would like to have seen Eric Metcalf use, so that'll limit his wide receiver snaps and give him more snaps at defense, maybe second corner, third nickel.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting. I watched him line up in the way that he did it at Colorado, though, and he is sort of a number one wide receiver material. Like, I don't want to take that away from him and almost put him in what's a little bit more of a gadgety role. Like, he'll be more in gadget situations, I would imagine, but almost putting him in a full role of gadget is a really interesting spot. Demetrius, I appreciate the call. I don't know if I can hold him to that. But, all right, let's leave that there. Daryl Ryder coming here in 13 minutes. But in the meantime, let's get to the most pressing things said by our station's guest today, excuse me. And let's do it with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off. Zach Jackson of The Athletic on with Ken and Anthony this morning, talking about a little Nick Chubb action and maybe why or why not he'd be back in a Cleveland Browns uniform.
He was never going to sign until after the draft. And frankly, I'm surprised as many running backs did. Now, they didn't get any money, and Nick's not going to either. This is a great running back class. And so, you know, the Browns are going to draft one, almost certainly. And they'll be in position, unless they don't get Nick Chubb, you know, to get somebody else's veteran who becomes free. But all the attention is going to be on the rookies. And I know that people want to know about Nick Chubb. We don't know if he can still play or not. Just reading through the translations of things, I think the GM has tried to tell Browns fans where this is headed. But I truly don't know where it's headed.
Yeah, I mean, guys, the fact that you are going to draft a running back, right? That's something we'll talk to Daryl about as well. Like, it feels like this is a year where if you walk out of the draft without a running back, at least at some spot, you've probably done it wrong. Like, there's such a deep running back class right now, and you are so thin at running back, it's a match made in heaven. Go get one of those guys. Even if you're not doing it in the first, second, third round, go get a running back at some point. You have to. In my mind, there's no way you walk away from it without it. I think it'd be a huge mistake. And if you're relying on Nick Chubb at this point, it's a nice story if it works out. I don't think anybody should be banking on it to work out. And Zach says it there. Feels like pretty much Andrew Berry at this point is telling you, yeah, maybe it just might be time that Nick Chubb's not back in Cleveland just by letting him go out there and seek other offers. So I would just say, be ready for whatever comes, and it might not be Nick Chubb in the backfield. And if it is, we saw last year. Let's keep this thing rolling. Let's go to Afternoon Drive today. Albert Breer of the MMQB on, and he talked about the potential sell to Miles with Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett.
There's how the public sees Joe Flacco, and then there's how he's seen internally. And I can tell you guys, like, part of the reason they didn't bring Flacco back in 24 is because of how popular he was in the locker room, and because the team really got to a point where they believed in him, you know. So I'm not sure Myles Garrett would look at the signing of Joe Flacco the same way the general public would, because I know the locker room there really liked, you know, Joe Flacco as a teammate and really liked Joe Flacco as a quarterback when he was in there. And so, you know, for the same reason that the Browns thought it would be awkward if they brought him back in 24 and put him in the quarterback room with Deshaun Watson, because they were still trying to get the best performance out of Watson, you might think that, like, Garrett could say, okay, like, you know, Joe Flacco, even at 40 years old, would be a suitable bridge quarterback to whatever's next.
If the sell to Miles was, listen, we're bringing back Joe and things are going to be dandy again, if that's all that it took, if that's what makes a guy happy, my God, it took literally $3 million to get Miles to sign a $160 million contract and not want to be traded. Is that all that it took? Because at that point, why was it a conversation in the first place? Why was he trying to go anywhere? Being like, what, you want Joe back? We'll get Joe back. Joe doesn't even have to play a snap. He wants Joe Flacco in the building? Sure. I just think that, again, as we talk about who's going to be the starter, who would be under center, given any scenario, if part of this sell, the way that Albert sort of lays it out, is that Joe was there and Miles believes in him and the locker room believed in him, is that not a sign to point towards Joe Flacco starting week one and Joe Flacco getting a little bit of a leash to be a starter for the Browns? He feels like everything is on the table for that to be the case. All right, let's keep it rolling. Brian Hoyer, former NFL quarterback, even for your Cleveland Browns, on with Ken and Anthony every Tuesday. He talked about Joe Flacco and a little bit of a bold claim coming out of Brian here.
They're a playoff team with Joe Flacco, and I know he's older, but look what he did. It was just a few short years ago. Comes in midseason, is the comeback player of the year, takes the Browns to the playoffs. A big reason they didn't want to bring him back is because they didn't want that threatening competition in the room with Deshaun, and clearly that didn't work out. And so to me, it's a great reunion. Obviously, he has a great relationship with Coach Stefanski and their offensive system, and Joe is more than capable. I mean, the Browns are a playoff team with Joe Flacco. I think they have a good enough team, a good coaching staff. And to me, at this point, it allows you to draft the best player available at number two, which I love.
I mean, I think that the last part is definitely good analysis, that at least you have somebody in the room now that you feel semi-comfortable going to. But I just don't feel like it shouldn't be as simple of a statement as, oh, the Browns got Joe Flacco, the Browns are a playoff team. I don't think that that's really reality when we take a look at things. I think you're more in the boat of looking at it and saying, sure, at the ceiling for this team, I think Joe Flacco could lead you to the playoffs. Being realistic, you probably fall somewhere between like 6 and 8 wins. That's probably more realistic about where Joe gets you. Playoffs are a high ceiling to hit given where this team was last year. And just by adding in a 40-year-old quarterback who in 2023 had the defense behind him, and now in 2025 might not. I just don't think that I'm crowning this team playoff bound after signing Joe Flacco. That's not going to be enough for me. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on with Baskin and Phelps today, talking about Shador meeting with the Giants and what that really spells out.
There's some reason why they're doing that this late in the draft. Shador's not going to waste his time. The Giants aren't going to waste their time. So they see something in him that they believe is worth taking potentially with the number 3 pick. And they also must believe that the Browns are leaning towards someone else at number 2. Otherwise, I don't know if this workout would be happening. So things could be changing atop the draft. Therefore, anything can still happen. Now, what Andrew Berry did tell us at the annual meetings is that it is unlikely that they will trade up to number 1 to draft Cam Ward. But I think everything else is on the table.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say Shador's off the table. I certainly hope not, because I would still be very happy if they drafted Shador at 2. But it does feel less and less likely every single day that we get to. If the Giants are willing to make the pull at 3, and very well this could be a smokescreen by New York, they'd be like, oh, we're considering him. Cleveland, you might want to as well, hoping that you get whatever player that you want at 3 to drop, or that some team tries to trade above you to get the player that you don't necessarily want. But I look at this, and I just think to myself, like, if the Giants are willing to bring that guy in for a visit and potentially take him with the number 3 pick, they got a better quarterback room, at least name value-wise right now, than the Browns do. A very interesting one in Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, but definitely a little bit more talent-driven. If they'd be willing to take a quarterback and put that on their line, and their jobs are on the line with Dable there and Joe Shane, like, yeah, I think the Browns could probably go through and also maybe take the risk to take Shador. If that's a possibility, I think that should still be out there for the Browns if the Giants would do it. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. Coming up here in 5 minutes, our very own Daryl Ryder going to be joining us to talk a little bit of Browns. Travis Hunter's comments today, the signing of Joe Flacco, and more. Again, coming your way here at 8 o'clock. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.